Three, please. John chapter 3. I want to read verse 13 through verse 18. John 3, 13 through verse 18. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We can communicate without words. We can convey a message through gestures or facial expressions and our body postures. We all know the deaf can speak through their fingers and their hands and their arm motions. We can also get our point across by the use of symbolism. For example, the American flag represents this nation. It speaks of our values, our goals, our people. And doesn't it speak of freedom? And what we do with the flag demonstrates how we view America. Or perhaps your lapel pin or other item of jewelry is intended to carry a message. Pictures do speak a thousand words. Do you remember the peace symbol? Nothing else needs to be said for that article said it all. Now, my friend, I believe that we find much symbolism as used by God. To mention a few, the tabernacle represented the true tabernacle in heaven. Baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord's table shows forth the Lord's death until He comes again. And when I think of the cross, well, I believe that the cross speaks volumes. I want to speak to you a message that I've entitled, The Message of the Cross. Let's pray. God, thank You for the day and the privilege of being in Your house. Thank You for those who could be with us. And Lord, just speak to us by Your Word and that which You've laid on my heart to share. And Lord, we pray for those who could not be here due to sickness, providential hindrance, and some are away traveling. We pray that You'd bless all these and meet all those needs. And Lord, the unspoken requests that are on the hearts of many, we pray that Your will be done. We ask that You bless today now for those that are lost, that they might hear about the Lord, and may You convict and draw, that these might be saved, and we who are saved might be encouraged through Your Word. We desire to worship You in spirit and in truth today. And Lord, we just thank You for this time, and we commit it to You. We love You. And so forgive us where we fall short, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. The message of the cross. Simply look across this land, and the cross is used as a landmark, is it not? Peer over town, and you will note the crosses, and there you will find the churches. Some of you wear crosses. Why is that? Why do you do that? Are you not telling others that you're interested in the Christ of the cross? Is not the cross a symbol of Christianity? Well, it is. Now, I realize that the cross alone is insufficient to carry a message of redemption. And I am not advocating that we all run out and buy crosses to wear and that you need to go home and erect one in your yards. All I'm saying is that the cross is a symbol. The cross does speak loudly to any who are aware of its meaning. The cross represents our Savior and His finished work on which He accomplished. And I believe there is a message of the cross, and that's what we want to think about today. And the first thing I would point out to you, if you look into verse 13, is the message is of one of divine intervention. Now, I think this is essential. If you're going to think about the cross, well, verse 13 says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." And so we talk about the cross of Christ. We talk about Christianity, symbolism, and all that it involves. It involves this one individual. It involves Jesus Christ. I think about the person of Christ when I think about the cross. Now, why do I say that this is important? It's important because multitudes have died by crucifixion. Jesus is not the only one to die on a cross, my friend. People are still being crucified yet today. But this cross that we think about and the cross of Christianity remind us of but one individual. And that individual is Jesus Christ. It is the Son of Man. It is God the Son who left heaven and came to earth and took Himself a human body that He might be the Savior of the world. And so when we think about those who have died on crosses, we must focus upon this main one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on that cross nearly 2,000 years ago. The Son of God was nailed to a cross and He was killed. And so when I think about the cross, and I talk about the cross, and I want to convey to you the message of the cross, it involves Jesus and Jesus alone. He is our focus. He is our objective. But then I also submit unto you that recognizing that this cross that we discuss is regarding divine intervention, it also involves the purposes of God. Why would God send His Son to come to earth so that we might have eternal life? Well, that's the answer. Look at verse 16. This is the purpose. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so this one, Jesus Christ, left heaven, came to earth to do what? He intervened in the affairs of men by providing Himself as a redeemer so that wicked men may be forgiven. It's very clear when you look at verse 16. Back, practically all believers have memorized John 3:16, and we believe that God loved the world and He gave His only begotten Son so that sinners can be saved. And so there needs to be a response on behalf of those that are lost that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18 bears that out. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You might be saying, what do I need to do to go to hell? If you're a lost person, you don't know Jesus Christ, the only thing you need to do to go to hell is absolutely nothing. Because you're already condemned. You're already on the way to hell. What you need to do is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you might have eternal life. And so it says in verse 18 that those who have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son are already under that condemnation. There was a tract many years ago that said, what do I need to do to go to hell? And you open it up, it was blank. They saved a lot of printing ink on when they made that one up because they didn't have to print the insides of them. What is the purpose? We talk about the message of the cross. I say it's divine intervention. It involves the Son of God leaving heaven, coming to earth, so that sinners might be saved. But further than that, if you'll back up into verse 14, I submit unto you in the second place that the message is one of loneliness. In John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now that account is found over in Numbers chapter 21 and in verse 4. And let's look over there briefly. Numbers chapter 21. When the children of Israel had exited Egypt and they went through the wilderness and they came to Mount Sinai, they got the Ten Commandments, they went on up, and to Kadesh Barnea sinned against God, and they were turned away and had to just spend all their time out into the wilderness and wander around out there as God directed them. They came to a place where they sinned against God as they normally did, and God sent judgment among them. And we'll pick up Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Talking about the manna. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people that they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, that it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And when John writes this record here, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking unto us, and in verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." I submit unto you that's a message of loneliness. Why is that? Because we're talking about an item that's solitary. It is isolated. They put that thing in the middle of the camp, but I mean, it was up on a pole. You couldn't get to it. And by the way, that was the only way. If you were bitten by the serpent, the only way you were going to be healed is to go to that place and look upon that brazen serpent that was up on that post. That was it. There was only one way. So there's two nuances when I think about the loneliness of the cross. Now, the first nuance is the fact that when Jesus was crucified on a cross, I want you to recognize how lonely that was. How isolated he was. Now in John chapter 12 and in verse 32, Jesus says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." But he has to be lifted up. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. You see, you say, well, the people around there, were, there's just so many people that were there, and the ladies were there beneath the cross. And but you know, I've been in the hospital rooms where a person was dying, and a family member sat around the bed, and they were all right there, and they're all touching the bed or touching the person. And I mean, the person's not alone when they pass from this life into the next. But Jesus hanging on the cross was alone. I mean, it's not like they could just walk up there and they're all laying their hands on the cross and they're all grabbing a hold of him and he has all this company around him. It just didn't work that way. When Jesus was hung on a cross, he was lifted up between heaven and earth, suspended there, and he was isolated. In Psalm 22, we have some of the description that David offers. And by the way, this is called a messianic psalm. And it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and the provision which he made. And we're not going to look at the whole psalm, but I want you to notice this expression that we see in verse 6. And we'll read through verse 16. Talking about the death of Christ. And try to get in here the idea of how isolated this was. Verse 6, he says, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." How many of them were on his side? Very, very few. "All they that see me laugh to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.'" Yeah, the populace of Jerusalem was around there watching the crucifixion of those three individuals. But they were mocking Christ. They weren't in his favor. They weren't in his court. None of them had sympathy upon him. Verse 9, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me to hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for there is for trouble is near. For there is none to help." Did he have anybody there to help him deliver? No. "Many bulls of Bashan compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like the potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death." Well, notice, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet." We'll stop right there. But do you notice, in the midst of all those people, in that crowd, none of them were very much sympathetic. A few of the ladies that followed him were, but man, the whole crowd was against him. And when he hung there alone. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, we read this, and it's like when I was in seminary, we had to read a book. It was called Crowded Pews and Lonely People. And you can come to a crowd and be absolutely lonely. And Jesus, in the midst of that crowd, was absolutely alone. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even the Heavenly Father had turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is a message of Christ, the Son of God who came, who was left alone on the cross. But that second nuance is the matter of it's the only way. As we mentioned about the serpent in the wilderness, if you got bitten by the snake, that was the only place to look. That was it. And I submit unto you today, dear sinner friend, you're lost, you're undone. There's only one person to look to, and it's Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You can't say, well, all the religions are good, and you can just go however you want. No, you cannot. The Bible's very clear about it. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, He went to the cross alone. And He alone provided the way for us that we might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's why Jesus states in John chapter 14 and in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. Why? Because He's the one, the Son of God on the cross that provided the way for us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 records for us where it says there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Why? Because He was God on the cross. That's why. Nobody else was. Nobody can provide forgiveness of sins for us. Christ alone is our Savior. He alone is our Redeemer. And so I think of the cross, and what the cross speaks is, first of all, that divine intervention. Secondly, the matter of loneliness. Third, the message is one of agony. One but need take time to read an account of the crucifixion to discover that the cross is an agonizing way to die. There's been times in the past where I shared with you a medical description straight out of the Journal of American Medical Association where they did a study on the crucifixion and what it does upon the body. And I've shared that with you in the past. But I think we recognize that, well, the cross is not a place of pleasure. It's one of the most agonizing ways to torture an individual to put him to death. It's a place of agony. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 53. Just a few reference verses here. Isaiah chapter 53. Some people act like a death on the cross is just an easy thing. It isn't. Especially when you're the Son of God bearing the sins of many upon that tree. Because then there's a spiritual thing going on as well as a physical. And Jesus, in all of His loneliness, suffered on the cross. It is a message of agony. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says in verse 3, He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Suffering. All that went involved with before the cross, where He was beaten, and He was despised, and He was scourged, and He was nailed to the cross. Wasn't a pleasure cruise. He died in agony, suffering, tortured. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's nothing positive about the cross in that regard. It's a matter of agony and suffering. It's what it is. And yet Jesus endured the cross, everything that it involved. And He suffered the shame for me. The cross speaks to me about the Son of God, who when He hung there on the cross was alone and suffering. And obviously it just makes sense when you think about it in the fourth aspect. The message of the cross is one of death. Christ died on the cross. He suffered. Gave up His life. The cross is an instrument of capital punishment. It is a tool for death. Here in John chapter 3, you look into the text in verse 16, it's very clear for us. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave. That He gave. Christ left heaven, came to earth, took Himself a human body that He could die for us. The cross means death. When Jesus tells His disciples, take up your cross daily and follow Me, He's talking about death. I recognize that the cross is a reminder and a symbol of everything that took place, but you have to keep in mind the primary symbol of that is death. The cross means death. And so we read in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, and when Jesus cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. He died hanging on that cross. John 19:33 says, when they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already, they brake not His legs. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. That is, God became a man, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. The message of the cross is that of loneliness and agony and death. That's the cross. And yet it means so much for us. Do you know why? Well, simply because the cross is not where we find the victory. Our victory is in the empty tomb. As was sung earlier, and as we recognize this day, Christ is risen from the dead. But He had to die first. And He had to die in a particular fashion which was ordained of God before the foundation of the world. Jesus suffered for sinners. And so we find the cross is a message of death. That's what it is. But oh, dear friend, look beyond the grave. And look to the resurrection. Christ is indeed risen. And because He lives, we can live also. But let us continue as we think about this message of the cross. It is also a message of sacrifice. Sacrifice. Why would Jesus do that? Because He was sacrificing Himself. The beginning of verse 16, once again, for God so loved the world. The world, I emphasize world here. A substitute for sinners. A sacrifice. Problem was, I've sinned against God. How am I going to be forgiven of my sin? I'm already corrupted. I can't bring anything to God. There's no goodness I can produce and no righteousness of which God can base salvation upon in my life. I can keep the commandments to the best of my ability, but I still fall short and I'm already a sinner and already condemned. How can I be forgiven? Only by Christ, who went to that cross, who suffered in the way that He suffered, who was buried and He rose again, but He did so for me. Remember when we read in Isaiah chapter 53 that He bore our iniquities? Our transgressions was upon Him. I'm so glad that Christ became a substitute for me that I might have forgiveness of sins. Christ died for sinners, the Scripture says. It's a sacrifice. He didn't die for anything that was His own. He didn't die because He had sinned. He died in behalf of others. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 12, for He hath made Him to be sin for us. God the Father made the Son to be sin for us who knew no sin. He didn't know any sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm the one that deserves death. You're the one that deserves hell and destruction forever. We all deserve that. Why? Because we're the ones that sin. But yet, what did Jesus do? He went to the cross and He suffered and He died to be a sacrifice for me. And so my sin is attributed to His account, and His righteousness is attributed to my account. And because of His righteousness and His shed blood, I can have forgiveness of sin. Look, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. The cross is a message of sacrifice. Hebrews 10 verse 4 says, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared Me. It's not by the goats, it's not by the lambs. Those are not the sacrifices that you're looking for. It's the body that You prepared for Me. And so Christ became a man so that He could become a sacrifice. Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. What was he doing on the cross? He was giving himself as a sacrifice for sins forever. That's what we read. The cross is a message of sacrifice. So as we read earlier back in John chapter 3 and in verse 17, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. A sacrifice. That's what the cross means. Christ dying for me, that I might be forgiven. The last thing I submit unto you, we look into John chapter 3 once more. The message is a message of supreme love. Why would God do this? Why would Christ come to the cross? Why would He be isolated? Why would He suffer? Why would He die? Why be a sacrifice? Very clearly, once again, verse 16, for God so loved the world. That's why. That's why. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 13, He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's why. And you look at the cross, you see a message of love. Because all those other horrible, hideous things that occurred there, He did so willingly because He loved us. I'll remind you of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. You say, how do I know God loves me? What did John write? How do we perceive the love of God? Christ laid down His life for us. How did He do it? Firing squad? Electrocution? Lethal injection? Stoning? Starved Him to death? How did Christ die? He went to the cross. And He hung on the cross and He died as a sacrifice. And He did so out of love. And so when I think of that symbol, the cross has a message, first of all, and very important, of divine intervention. I mean, we're talking about the Son of God. How impressive. It's a message of divine intervention. It's a message of loneliness, of agony, and of death. It is a message of sacrifice, and yet at the same time, it's a message of supreme love. My friends, the message is that salvation from sins only comes by grace through faith in the provision of Jesus Christ. That's the message of the cross. And you can show them an item of jewelry, but that's not going to save anybody. What you need to do is tell them about the Christ of the cross. And the provision that He has made so that they might have eternal life. Remember John 3:15 when we read? Right at the beginning. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I think of the cross. I think of Christ, my Savior, giving up His life for me. And that's the message I extend to you, dear sinner friend. You're lost, you're undone, you're condemned. You cannot fix it. It's beyond you. But Jesus left heaven, came to earth 2,000 years ago. And He died on the cross. And they buried Him. And I'll tell you, He rose again from the dead. And He lives. Because He has conquered death. And by His grace, He's given me eternal life. And so, dear sinner, you can be saved today. Would you see Christ? Would you see He was lifted up? Would you see that He was crucified, buried, risen again, so that you might be saved? Would you repent and believe? Would you call upon Him, trust Him today, and be saved? That's the message of the cross. That's the message. As I left my house this morning, my neighbor says, "You got a great message on the resurrection?" I said, "Well, it involves resurrection, but I'm going to speak about the cross." And then I told him what my wife said yesterday. She says, "Well, are you going to preach along the matter of the resurrection, or are you going to do what you normally do and maybe preach that message, 'How shall you escape the damnation of hell?'" Which I've done before on Easter. I told the guys I'm preaching on the cross. But of course, Christ rose again. So the message is true today. Sinner, would you be saved? Christian, would you be encouraged of what Christ has done? Let's stand, we'll sing. Right where you stand, as God works in your heart, as God speaks to you, convicts you, dear sinner, you can be saved. And we're going to have an invitation. You can walk the aisle if you wish, but walking the aisle will not save you. We talk about the cross. It was Christ who was crucified, buried, risen again. You turn to Christ. You trust Christ. You believe on Jesus. He's the Savior. But if you need help, you can come. Or if you've trusted Christ in that and made it public, you can come. And so, whatever your need is, we want you to respond as God moves in your heart. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word. Speak it to every one of us, especially for those that are lost, that they might see the great provision of Jesus Christ and the great love that you have demonstrated to all the world through that death. But more than just the death, but His burial and resurrection, and He lives. And so the lost today can live and have eternal life. Work it in their heart. Save them today. And may we who are saved find great encouragement in these things. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Numbers 342.